This show is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, the Justice League of board game podcasts. Find out more at dicetower.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 225.
We've been doing this for a long time. I say that every single episode, I think. I feel like it, for sure. But thank you for the introduction, Anitra. As always, I am your host, Andrew, and I am joined by my lovely and wonderful wife, Anitra.
That's me.
It is an odd-numbered episode. That means we have a guest on the show. I think this is our most frequently reoccurring guest, and that is because he always provides awesome content. We are delighted to welcome Steven Dutzman from Engaged Family Gaming onto the show.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
You know, playing some video games, coming here to talk about video games. It's like I'm typecast. It's like when you need video game stuff, you come to me, and that's okay. It's what I do. Congrats on 225.
That's
impressive.
Thank you. I mean, it's not done yet. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, listen, I'm here, so at the very least, you're going to finish it.
Right, it's already fireworks.
We worked through the tech problems to get this episode started, so there's no point stopping it now. Right. It's like a train going downhill.
I like it. All right, so for episode 225, I have two facts about the number 225.
Is this two facts thing gonna become a habit?
When I feel like the first fact isn't mind-blowing enough, I usually try to get a second one. That's kind of how this thing works. So the first fact is the Antonov An-225 is the biggest plane in the world. There's only one of them that actually works.
Okay.
It's a Russian plane. It was used to fly spacefaring vessels. It can carry 250 tons of freight. That's a lot.
Wow.
Yep. 500,000 pounds. It has an 88-meter wingspan, and it is 85 meters long.
Holy moly.
This is a giant, giant plane. And since I'm getting a great reaction out of Anitra, I am going to open this picture of this plane. This will be in the show notes for the show. Look at how many wheels that thing has. It's huge.
It has a ridiculous number of wheels because it's ridiculously huge.
Yeah, that's a thing. I mean, that makes sense.
It kind of looks like it swallowed the space shuttle.
I'm going to send this link over to Steven so he can see it as well. So there you go, Steven. That is a picture of the Antonov An-225.
That's a big old plane.
It is a big old plane. And my other fact about the number 225 is that it is the 225th anniversary of the founding of Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. So happy birthday, Jim Beam.
Sure.
Cool. Cool.
No love? Yeah. I mean, they're like an American icon. They're an American icon.
Hot toddy?
Yeah, I like hot toddies. They're wonderful. Anyway, that's it for facts about the number 225.
Fun facts.
Indeed they are.
Well, before we get into the rest of the show, we need to remember to thank our sponsor, First Move Financial. There's so much swirling around in this world that it's hard right now to find some stability. You might be struggling with some of the things we've talked about before, like 529s or financial scams, or even the sunk cost fallacy. Maybe on the positive side, you might be trying to figure out if this is a good time to refinance your house with historically low interest rates, or how and where to invest your savings, or if and when you can retire. Whether you're worried about what's happening, or you're lucky to find yourself in a strong financial position and want some help in making the right tactical move, First Move Financial can help. If you want some help finding solid footing underneath you, or help finding the right step to leap up to the next level, head to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to schedule a quick phone call and see how First Move can help.
Thank you so much to Donnie and First Move Financial for sponsoring this episode of the show. So, Steven, kind of let the cat out of the bag, which is totally okay. We, this week, realized, we were thinking back, we've been doing such a great job, I think, publicizing our gift guide, and so many people have been asking questions, and I think getting some help from our gift guide. We were kind of thinking back on what things were we not as educated on that we still thought our listeners would be able to benefit from in this holiday season. This episode's coming out on Monday, Christmas is on Friday, so what can people get fast? And the answer
is not board games.
At this point, you have a lot of faith in the USPS. At this point, your better bet is to download a video game. And that's why we brought Mr. Video Game himself, Steven Dutzman, onto the show.
I like that. I'm Mr. Video Game. Yeah, man. Listen, the only way to safely get a gaming gift right now, you're absolutely right, is through your consoles. So I got you covered. We published our video game gift guide a couple of weeks ago, and I've got us covered. So just let me know when you want to start, and we can just roll right through it.
Well, as you know, Stephen, being on the show, I think this is your fourth or fifth time on the Family
Year. Fourth or fifth. I don't know. At this point, we have to go, have I been on this show more or less than Steve Martin has hosted SNL? I don't know.
Like, I don't know the answer to that. But I did make sure that there was at least a six-month gap. The last time we were on the show together was actually the wrap-up show for New York Toy Fair, which was right before the world exploded.
All right, so we're like bookending the pandemic. That works for me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Something like that.
I mean, I like it when you say pandemic and ending in the same sentence, so it's a win for me.
I think everyone on Earth would be happy to say that ending the pandemic would work out. So the sooner the Fire Nation stops attacking, the happier we will be. You know that meme, right? I've told you that bit that on our shows, we don't talk about the pandemic specifically. We just refer to it purely as the Fire Nation attacking.
Okay.
One, because it's hilarious. And two, because it's way less depressing, which is terrifying because the Fire Nation was not cool.
Right.
But like, that's whatever. Shout out to Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah,
absolutely. So before we get into the video game stuff, though, we are going to talk, as always, about what we've been playing. But we're going to twist it a little bit, and we're going to include video games in the mix because, I mean, hey, why not?
Because we have Steven on, and all right. So video games is what we're going to talk
Steven,
about.
What have you been playing lately?
So I want to talk about two things. The first is I want to talk about the 9th expansion to this little video game you might have heard about called World of Warcraft.
No.
Okay.
It's been around.
Is this the Shadowlands one, or is that
Shadowlands is the new expansion?
All right. Hey, look, come on. There, I'm relevant. Look at me go.
That's super impressive. How about this? 9 expansions for this game is super impressive, and this is the best one I have ever played. It is really good. Mm. It's really welcoming. The biggest piece of this is that they redid the opening play experience to make it way easier for people to onboard. Before, you would start and you had to like play through all like 8 expansions, and it was like really intimidating, or you had to give them $60 to like get a character to where they would boost your character up. Now they've implemented all sorts of systems to make it super fast, where now you can get from the beginning to like current content in like 11 or 12 hours. Mm. And so it's like playing like a quote unquote real video game. And even the new content, I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. The music is amazing. And the story is actually really cool, which is not something you usually talk about with MMOs. Normally, MMOs are just kind of a social experience. Mm-hmm. And they're meant to be just very, they're not story driven things. There's lore and stuff like that. But the story is captivating. I'm super excited to see what happens. They're doling out story like every week. And so every Tuesday when the reset stops, like I want to know what's happening that week, which is really cool. That's not something, like I said, that's not something that you really get.
Right.
It takes up a lot of my time. When we're done here, I'm going to be playing it. I started playing it back in March, not because you guys drove me crazy, but because I needed a comfort food game. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
yes,
for a lot of people, that was Animal Crossing. And we're going to talk about that on the gift guide. You know, Animal Crossing New Horizons is a never ending checklist of like little chores and little things that you can do. You can always accomplish something, whether it's planting a tree or picking peaches or, you know, whatever, talking to your neighbors. And I thought that was awesome. But one Friday, I realized there is another place that I can go where I can have a never-ending checklist of stuff to do, where I can always accomplish something or do something. And I also get to fight dragons. And I decided to fight dragons, no disrespect to Animal Crossing. And so, yeah, I've been playing since March, and I have I've never been happier with the game. And the new expansion is crazy. And it wasn't as buggy as launches normally are, which is also insane.
Nice.
That's also good. So, yeah.
Sweet. Well, I also have been playing a video game a while ago. I actually want to say it was Black Friday of last year. I picked up God of War for PlayStation 4. I played it a little bit, and it's just, God of War has this really annoying thing where it is not even remotely acceptable for children to watch that game.
Not even a little.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little.
But the thing is, in the latest one, there's really, I mean, unless, you know, the ridiculously violent Kratos against, like, weird demon people is a problem, there's really not a whole lot. Except all of the sudden, some character will jump out of the woodwork and start dropping F-bombs. So it's like, I can't even be like, hey, I'm not going to, you know, this shady area. So like, I can play this in front of my kids for a little bit because I don't know what's going to happen. So I played a little bit of it and then I put it down and it was just difficult to get back into it. And I kind of needed some video game comfort food and I wanted to give Anitra like some alone time instead of feeling obligated to spend time with me once the kids were in bed.
I mean, I do love to spend time with you, but anyway. Yeah, I am never alone anymore. Ever. Right. Never right. alone.
I think we talked about this with Helena when she was on the show. But so I started playing God of War again. And I honestly was a little nervous when I started playing again because it had been so long that I figured I wouldn't remember anything. And I pretty much jumped right in. And that's just a really well-crafted game. It's just really great. Good. It's really good. So I've been putting a lot of work into that or gameplay time into that.
How far along are you?
I would say I'm not terribly far along. I got the rainbow thing. What do they call that thing?
The Bifrost.
I got the Bifrost. I went to the elf place. I did the elf thing and I came back.
Cool.
That's where I am right now.
There's a little bit more. I mean, you're like a third of the way through the game, which is very cool. What's awesome is the game hasn't really even hit its stride yet. So if you're liking it, man, do you have some treats. And I agree with you. I finished that game, and I also agree that the big one is like the PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3 God of Wars before its like recent reinvention were like very obviously inappropriate at all times. There was never a moment where you're like, you know what, I can just explore this. And it doesn't matter if I do like these chores while my kids are in the room, because there are lots of games that like you can do chores. Like if you're playing Skyrim, you can like do blacksmithing and stuff when the kids are in the room, right? Like who cares? You know,
I even did that with Fallout.
Yeah,
it was usually okay.
You're building a base.
Yep.
Yeah.
My kids, when they were very, very young, were absolutely convinced that Assassin's Creed was a climbing simulator, because literally I would just go from place to place and climb to the top of stuff. And that was like, that was when I got like the busy work of like climbing to the top of towers done, because I would just walk from place to place and climb to the top of stuff and synchronize.
Yep.
And so God of War, the previous ones had no such thing. They were arcade style, stylish action games, just nonstop violence. And then various other inappropriate stuff that we don't even need to talk about. But this new one kind of gets you in there, where you're like, all right, even the fighting of the giant demon things is not really that big of a deal, because they're obviously giant demon things. Every parent can make their own judgment call about that. Right. It felt like Lord of the Rings to me.
Yeah,
because you know, fighting like Strider murdering orcs is like kind of whatever, because they're clearly not people. Although, you know, I'm sure some film studies people will have some stuff to say to me about how they're symbolic and people. Whatever, they're not people. But like, you know, when he's fighting like demon centaurs, like it's not the same thing. But you're right, the other people are just jerks. Because they just ruin our fun. Like, come on, Norse gods.
Change a setting to be like, say butt instead. Like,
if there was a cheat code that I could enter that could make it so that all the bad guys just said butt all the time, I would have 100% entered that, even if my kids weren't playing. Like, it would have been so funny. Like, there's a cheat code in Shovel Knight where you can make everybody's name butt.
that's such a Shovel Knight thing to do too.
Of course it is. So yeah, God of War's great. Yeah. I recommend that to all parents. It's regularly under $20.
Yeah, so which is insane. And it's kind of this like, it's almost like a, I don't know if I want to call it a coming of age story, but it's very interesting that you're seeing Kratos and his emotional development. And by the way, and I told this to Anitra, if ever there is an opportunity for me to sit in a boat and hear a story from someone, I want to hear that story from Kratos.
And he's going to call him boy.
Because those stories are hilarious.
Oh, man. Everything about it is great. I also really like his line, and my kids hate that I have this line where he says, don't be sorry, be better. Because they hate it because I say it to them all the time, and it's so good. This is literally a father-son voyage.
It totally is. And it's like, it's weirdly uncomfortable sometimes because Kratos is a really bad father, at least for the first third of the game. But you kind of, I think you see some development in him where he's starting to see like, maybe I should, you know, actually care about this person and show it instead of just care about them secretly kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not going to spoil nothing, but it is a father-son voyage.
Yep.
And there's lots of cool stuff. Also, freaking beautiful.
It is like amazing.
My God.
Like so good. I'm kind of glad that I put it down because we just, I don't know, a month ago now bought a fancy pants new TV for the next gen consoles. So I've got, you know, this Vizio P series Quantum blah 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 supports 4K 120 hertz, yacht, all that garbage. It does it all. It's great.
Looks real nice then.
Boy, does it look nice. And I successfully pre-ordered my ordered my Series X this week. So that'll be in a couple weeks. So I'm excited about that too. So that's my video game update.
That you're gonna love that Series X. I mean, at this point, the new generation consoles. I mean, anybody listening. I mean, unless you're buying it from a scalper, good luck. But next year, when they are available, highly recommend. I have them both for work, obviously. For work. I say that so that I can play this podcast and say that I got them for work in front of my wife. But I have them, and they're both amazing pieces of hardware. The PlayStation 5 looks like an alien Wi-Fi router, and it's huge.
Yeah.
It really is huge. Like, I could kill a zombie with it.
I will probably buy it when they do the PS5 mini. That's the one I'll buy.
Like the PS, I'm sure a PS5 Slim is coming.
Yeah.
Because it needs it.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Or something. It definitely needs one. Yeah. And it'll be worth it. I mean, this thing, and when you do, think about how awesome it's going to be, like, in 2 or 3 years when they push that thing out for $350.
And games for it.
At that point, you'll have probably a new Spider-Man, the new God of War, the new Horizon. A lot of these games are coming out next year, which means when you get them, they'll be $20 each. I'm jealous of you.
Yeah, that's...
Well, they will be.
That's my spending level. Like, video game at $20, that's it. That's where I'm at. So
listen, man.
Meanwhile, my spending level on video games...
is whatever you can download on Game Pass.
Continues to be whatever I can get for free.
$10 a month.
On Game Pass.
Hey, Peggle is on there. No joke, Peggle.
I do
the stealth
like
best game.
There are actually two games recently that I was introduced to that I've been playing and would like to talk about.
So, I want to hear it.
It's all you.
So, literally today, I just started playing Call of the Sea.
Which, yo.
For anybody my age who's like, man, I wish I could play a game like Myst, but not 30 years old. Can I do that? The answer is play Call of the Sea. It's got that same, like, first person, you're walking around an island with absolutely nobody on it. It's kind of creepy because there's nobody on it and you're trying to solve a mystery. But it's all about look around, find the puzzles, put the stuff together, solve the puzzles. I'm really enjoying it. Our comments about language that we don't really want our kids hearing. If you don't want your kids hearing the D word, don't do like me and play this game in front of your kids because the main character has said it a couple of times already.
Darn.
Darn is right. Well, and it's telling that our technique for shielding kids of this when they weren't old enough to read yet has stuck because my 9-year-old was reading ahead of me on the captions and went la 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 when it was time for her to say the word.
What a good sport. He was doing that for his brother, huh?
He was doing that for his brother.
That's awesome. All right, so what's the other game?
So the other game is Carto. Have you heard of this game at all, Steven?
Yes, I have. I knew the... you know what? That is the most The Family Gamers game on Game Pass because it's a tile-laying game.
It is a tile-laying, like, map puzzle game, and I love it. Andrew played a little bit of it, and he's like, oh, hey, you should try this, and then...
And then she played it and beat it, and I haven't had a chance to get back to it.
And he hasn't played any more of it since.
And then she pushed you out of the room and locked the door.
That's fine.
And you just hear her fiendishly cackling.
When the Series X comes in, the Series X goes in the living room, and the Xbox One S comes to my office.
So then you can play Carto while you're working.
Yeah. No. I would never do that.
No judgment from me. Carto is great. Yes. Xbox Game Pass is without question the best value in video games. So if you're on the fence about which console to get and you really don't know and you don't care, like some people care, and if you care, then that overrides a lot of this. But if you're really like, you know what, I just want a video game console, it's hard to argue with an Xbox just because the Game Pass is such an incredible value, especially since as of this holiday, it includes the EA Sports lineup, which by itself, you know, like, might not matter a huge amount, but, like, I know plenty of people that would love to play Madden, but don't want to pay $60 for Madden.
Right.
And every year, Madden comes out at $60, and then it will now hit Game Pass, like, February or March, like, right after the Super Bowl is usually when they put it onto EA Play, and now it's going to be on Game Pass, and so you can play, you know, a little bit of Madden and kind of get a taste of it. I think it was already an amazing value, but teaming up with EA... it's just absolutely nuts.
Well, I mean, the really insane value, at least if you ask me, is Xbox All Access. Because if you pay $25 a month for an Xbox Series S, which is a next gen, it's the lesser of the two next gen consoles, but it's $25 a month for 2 years. It includes Game Pass and a console.
Yeah.
For $25 a month.
That is an amazing value. My
less
only
than
counter
cell phone.
Oh, easily. My only counter to that is that anyone can sign up for Game Pass, but in order to do All Access, it's a credit check. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. It's like you have to be approved for All Access, and not everybody can do that. Whereas, like, you know, if you're buying a, you know, if a console is being gifted to a kid, you know, they're not, you know, they right. you know, they don't need, you know, they don't have to interact with that. They can deal with Game Pass itself. Sure. But no, the All Access is, I mean, there are plenty of people who have their consoles now and they're paying $25 a month, and that's just so good. It's so good. And it comes with Game Pass, which is bonkers. It's mm-hmm. just bonkers. I still don't believe that it exists. Like, some part of me is like, this is just not real. Every night it feels like my sons boot up the Xbox Series X and they find some new game mm-hmm. that we didn't even know was on there. And then they just mess around with it. And if it's not like they're lacking in video games, as right. you can imagine, my kids are not leading miserable lives with video games. But, you know, being able to just kind of explore with that, we couldn't have done that when we were kids.
I mean, when I was a teenager, I was going to the software store in the mall
yep.
and trying to see what I could, you know, what I could get for the least amount of money. What I could get for like $20 or right. less.
All right, well, let's switch a little bit because we've also been playing some board games. Steven, I don't know if you've been getting some analog play in, but we played a game this past week that we've talked about a lot. And every time I mention it, I mention that you're the one who told me about it, Steven. And that is Pan Am. So we rated this our best game of the year. It's really good. And we played it again this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
I have it.
I'm glad.
I just haven't played it yet.
You should play it. It's just been, it's so good.
I know. It's been every time we sit, every time we're like, nope, this is the day, something has gone wrong.
I understand. Well, the good news is that it plays well at two. So if you could find someone to play with, you can play it.
Fair enough. Also, the other good news is it doesn't have an expiration date.
Also yes. true.
So I'll make it work. I'll make it work.
So that's the first thing on my list of games that we've been playing. Should I tell the Ticket to Ride story?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, tell us.
So my best friend is a big Ticket to Ride fan, and we were playing Ticket to Ride Japan over the summer, and I'm just sitting there playing, and in the back of my head, I'm like, man, these sleeves on these cards, they're terrible. Like, they don't fit. They're kind of just crappy, poor quality, whatever. So his birthday was last week, and I decided that for his birthday, I was going to buy him the exact to the millimeter sleeves for all of his Ticket to Ride games and expansions.
Okay.
When everything was said and done, it was about 1,300 sleeves.
That's a lot of sleeves.
That's a lot of sleeves. So I ordered this giant package, and I gave them all to his wife, who's kind of in on the deal. And so she and the kids, their kids, sleeved everything except for the base game.
She enlisted help from their teenagers and was like, hey, we're doing this for Dad on the quiet so he doesn't know.
So we surprised him. We showed up at his house with pizza on Monday night, and we said, all right, happy birthday, blah, blah, blah. And I gave him a gift, which was a relatively small package of sleeves. And he's like, what is this? And then we pulled out his copy of Ticket to Ride and said, well, we already sleeved everything else, so you're going to help us sleeve this one. And then we sat down, we played Ticket to Ride, and it was great. We played France?
It was France. France was crazy.
Yeah, it was a crazy map.
I'm not sure I really want to do that one again.
Steven, you've played regular old Ticket to Ride, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the interesting thing about the France map is that most of the routes do not have colors. They're just routes that are there, and they have a length. And so before you can play the cards of a certain color to match a route, you have to place the correct length route thing on the route that you want.
It's a little piece of cardboard.
So yeah, so you basically are announcing a turn ahead of time. I want to put 5 reds right there. And with 5, it's probably not a problem. But with 4 or 3, or especially 2, somebody could be like, oh, you want that, huh? Well, thanks for putting that down. I'm now going to take that route. So it makes it a whole different level of strategizing and planning and pseudo bluffing. And I somehow won, I think. I was like...
By 1 point.
I won by 1 point. Anyway, that's Ticket to Ride France. That was fun.
All right, there's a couple other board games we've been playing. The other night, I pulled out Voltage for you and I to play. Yep. We've talked about this one before.
It yeah. It's a cute little two-player game from, I think, Mattel.
Yeah, it is Mattel. And I really just, it's an adorable little two-player game of back and forth, and the theme on it is that you're trying to make circuits by playing certain cards back and forth.
Okay.
But at the last minute, you can flip a circuit so that now, you know, the person with the higher number wins the circuit, or now the person with the lower number wins the circuit. So it's a lot of kind of head games back and forth with the other person, too.
It reminds me a lot of, even though it's completely different thematically, it reminds me a lot of Hana Mikoji.
Sure.
In where you're trying to claim these geishas. Because any given spot will score once a fifth card is placed in that spot, but it might score positively or negatively depending. And so
for it's, you or against you. And
yeah, it's
hard
weird.
To be it's, sure until the last minute.
It's pretty neat. And again, you know, something like that coming from Mattel, you just don't really expect a nice heady game with surprisingly deep strategy to come from Mattel. So
yeah,
that's good stuff. What about you, Steven? Have you been playing anything on the board or pretty much just escaping digital?
Not of note. It's been mostly digital stuff. It's been hard to get my kids to get to the table. That's a big piece of it. So, no, I don't have anything significant to report. I mean, we've been playing some Dungeons & Dragons.
That's cool.
So I guess that does count.
Yes,
absolutely. Really leaning into Roll20, which is, I guess, a digital application of it. I'm playing a lot of Dungeons & Dragons.
That's good.
Running a game there. So,
well, the only other thing I will talk about, and this came up yesterday, was, so, Mondo announced they're coming out with 4 new Unmatched sets in 2021 that are all Marvel themed. And I like them a lot, not because they're Marvel themed, but because they're not the Marvel characters that you expect them to be. They're not your Iron Mans and your Captain Americas and whatever. I think the most well-known character in all of them is probably Black Panther out of all 12.
I mean, he's pretty well-known.
You're right. He is pretty well-known, but in the pantheon of Marvel characters, like, he's really only well known because of the last 3 years, at least.
With the movies, yeah.
At least in terms of, like, the general populace. Like, obviously, he is an iconic character for a lot of great reasons, and I don't want to take away from that at all. But the general populace of I'm going to say pseudo-Marvel fans, right? People that really only consume things in, like, the wide media pop culture.
The movie or
yeah,
TV
it didn't really know anything yeah. about him. I mean, you could probably say the same thing about, like, Iron Fist, for example. Like, they just didn't know who he was, that kind of thing. So I really am excited for Squirrel Girl and Ms. Marvel. I think they're the ones I'm probably the most excited for. Daredevil will be cool. Elektra will be interesting. Cloak and Dagger, I know basically nothing about.
Same.
But the point is, not that Mondo is coming out with new Unmatched sets, but when that news came out, I was like, you know what? I really want Bruce Lee. So I bought Bruce Lee for myself. And courtesy of Amazon, Bruce Lee showed up the next day. And I immediately sat down and started showing all the Bruce Lee cards to everybody. And I was like, I got to play as Bruce Lee. So Asher and I sat down and we played 3 games of Unmatched back to back to back.
And Bruce Lee crushed.
Bruce Lee's awesome.
Yeah.
He is so fun to play with. Do you play Unmatched? Are you an Unmatched guy, Steven?
I love Unmatched.
Okay. Have you played?
I'm not good at it.
Have you played with Bruce Lee? Or against Bruce Lee?
I have not.
So the big thing with Bruce Lee is a lot of his cards have this ability that I think it's mostly his Jukundu cards have this ability where at the end of performing that action, you get another action. And so instead of having 2 actions, you can have, like, the very first turn of the very first game that I played with Bruce Lee, I used my entire hand.
5 actions.
And that was really just a function of happening to get the right cards in my hand. But he just burns down the opponent's cards and just keeps hitting and keeps hitting and keeps hitting. And, I mean, his attacks aren't weak. They go up to about 4, which is not a weak attack. But it's just really interesting to see all these different moves that he can do that always add another action and allow you to do something else. Also, his movement is 3, not 2. And at the end of his turn, he gets to move 1 for free. So he's just kind of like this wild, crazy character. I did beat him with Robin Hood and his Merry Men. But in that game, I really think that Asher just misplayed Bruce Lee. In that game, on the first turn, he killed 3 of the 4 Merry Men.
On the first turn. Oh my goodness.
Because he just was like, oh, well, you're dead. Well, because they only have 1 hit point.
Right.
He's like, you're dead. And he just, it was brutal/fun. So yeah, Bruce Lee, awesome character. You can only get him alone. He doesn't come in any sets. I have a lot of fun with him. Even though I appreciate like Bruce Lee as Bruce Lee and like all the, you know, kung fu movies and all that stuff. Like I appreciate that stuff, but I'm not like a Bruce Lee guy. But his character is just fun to play.
Kind of fun to play. So much fun. Merry Christmas to you.
Yep. Merry Christmas to me from me.
I mean, listen, I can't even get mad at that.
Well, it's weird. I seem to know what I want.
It's what we do.
Yeah. When you know? He ordered it, I was like, you know what? Now I'm glad that I stayed on the fence about getting you Bruce Lee for Christmas and got you something else. Because otherwise I would have had to say, no, you can't get that. You need to wait an extra week and a half. So, good for me, I guess.
Something like that. All right, well, what else is on your list, honey?
Well, we got another play-in of Athenium Mystic Library. The more I play this, the more I like it, and the more I can say that it's kind of what I wanted Ex Libris to be. I really like the puzzle of arranging the books on the shelves, and then sometimes having to rearrange them into new patterns. And it doesn't have nearly the same amount of overhead as a lot of other library-themed games that I've played.
I completely agree. I just love it. It's a lot of fun. It's a great spatial puzzle. Total blast playing Athenium from Renegade.
All right. Why don't we take a break? Get a drink of water, maybe.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we will let Steven expound on video games as gifts and the do's and don'ts and what would be a good choice for the people in your family.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a couple different age ranges or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Sound good?
I got you.
All right, we'll be right back.
Here, chickens, it's feeding times. I have some sparkly gems for you.
Today's snap review is for Gem Hens, designed by Jim DeCamillo and Patrick Marino. It's published by Social Sloth Games, an imprint of Gray Fox Games. In Gem Heads, you play as chickens pecking up sparkly gems in hopes of laying the most valuable eggs suitable for a czar. First, let's talk about art. Gem Hen's artwork is great. Everything thematically ties together perfectly, from the barnyard and the hen houses on the game board to the player boards. The chickens on the power cut cards are super cute. At the end of the game, you have a pretty cool looking egg board with all the sparkly gems adorning it. Even the box art is cool. How about game mechanics?
Gem Hen's is a smorgasbord, including dice rolling, action planning, and a main course of set collection. Here's a flyover how it plays. The game plays over the course of 3 rounds, and each round consists of 3 phases. First is the grain throwing phase, where you'll roll dice to populate the barnyard grid with gems. Dice get placed in rows and columns using the rolled results. Next up is the chicken rolling phase, where you'll flip the egg timer and start rolling. You can keep rolling dice and placing them onto your action board after each roll. You'll continue doing this until the sand timer runs out. The action board itself has spaces that will activate on your turn. Dice pips correspond with these action spaces. The actions are move 1, move 2, move 3, scratch 1, roll a column, and finally, the pecking order, which also acts as a wild action. Now that all the dice are placed, you'll determine pecking order, also known as turn order. This is done by rolling all your 6s. The player with the highest total among the dice goes first, second, and so on. Once pecking order has been determined, it's time to move on to the chicken's action space. In pecking order, players choose a die from one action space on the board and take that action, moving their chicken pawn to collect gems or scratch the ground to add additional gems to the barnyard grid. As you collect gems, you'll eat them and place them onto your egg board. Here lies the crux of the game. Placing the gems onto the egg board is strategic. The egg itself has multiple sections where you'll place matching colored groups of gems. You'll get points based on the size of the section and the color of the gems. There are 7 sections that range from 2 to 5 spaces. Gem values are depicted on your player boards. Diamonds are worth the most. The round continues until all players have used up their dice. You'll play 2 more rounds and then tally up the points to declare a winner. So, Izzy, let's talk about some of our expectations of the game. What did you think going into Gem Hens?
I thought there was going to be a chicken queen that needs gems for her crown, and you or the Gem Hens have to go out and acquire them. I was definitely expecting a shorter game. I think it plays better at 2 players because it's going faster. We played it with my mom at 3 and the game dragged on a bit. With more players, chickens can get shoved around more often, which is a little frustrating because it could mess up your plans. I'd have a plan for my turn, but it'd only get trashed by my mom and dad by bumping my chicken farther away from the gems I need to collect.
Good point, Izzy, and because you're new to the style of the game, I actually felt bad for doing it. In our two-player games, we ended up not shoving each other at all because we didn't want to waste an extra die that's required to do the shove itself.
How about you, Dad?
Going in, I was expecting a different take on a set collection game with a unique theme. Instead of drafting cards to collect sets, you're rolling dice to program moving a chicken around a grid to snag gems. I wasn't expecting that at all, and I appreciated a different take on how to set collect. In higher player counts, I did find myself analyzing a little too much at the beginning of each round, trying to count how many spaces I needed to move my chicken around, and remember that as I rolled the dice, like a madman. Pre-action planning can slow down here a bit, especially with younger players, and I will say myself included. Higher player counts intensifies this as well. And that's okay, as long as everyone has patience for slower players. As Izzy said, it can be a little frustrating getting your chicken shoved around that blows up your turn. Though, this is slightly offset by higher player counts by having more dice rolled during the gem throwing phase. Sometimes there isn't much you can do to mitigate a shove, and you end up wasting extra dice moving. What surprised you about Gem Hens, Izzy?
The components are cool. I love the chicken pawns. I like that they used real gemstones names and colors like sapphires and rubies. I learned something new. I didn't know what a Fabergé egg was before I played. I got to design my own egg by choosing where to place gems and deciding the points I wanted to go for. Lastly, scratching can be risky and can pay off. For example, in our last game, I scratched my last couple of turns, and I gave my dad 4 gems he couldn't place, and it gave him negative points, causing him to lose 14 points.
Yeah, in that game, what was my score? 6 points?
Yeah, six points.
Pretty bad. Yeah, I was surprised by that. In our two-player game, you ran out of movement, so you just kept scratching dice to place gems onto our chicken spaces. Sadly, in that last round, my Fabergé egg was already 3/4 of the way built. There was some tension and excitement watching you pull those gems out from the bag, hoping that I would get something that I needed. But I didn't get too cracked up over it.
Couldn't resist egg jokes, could you?
Oh, don't be so hard-boiled. There's something really fulfilling about placing all those gems on the egg board. It does look pretty cool when the game ends. I do agree with Izzy completely there. I was surprised by the puzzly nature of the set collecting and choosing which gems to put in different sections. Gems have limited quantities, so you really have to calculate your odds of finishing a section that you're working on. Another surprise was that the game came with an advanced rule set where you use power collect cards. Whoever came up with that name, I'd like to high-five them.
Super funny.
These cards get drafted each round and give players special abilities. They spice things up and bend the rules a little bit. They're pretty fun, and I definitely suggest adding them in once you've got the game down. As we mentioned earlier, chickens shoving each other around was a surprise. Though it makes sense, chickens can get a little feisty going after their food. Kids might have a hard time coming back from shove as it will goof their plans. They'll have to waste a couple extra turns catching up and moving to additional spaces to get the gems they were looking for. Lastly, there can be some egg hay drafting, which did happen in a couple of games. Not really the two-player game, but in the three-player game we had that with your mom. There are 100 grain gems, but in different color denominations. Diamonds are the rarest with only 7, whereas amber have 24. It can benefit you to take a gem your opponent needs to complete a high-scoring section. Why not if you have an open space for it? Two-spot sections work great for this little strategy. Just be aware when playing with kids, this can irk them a bit when you steal a gem that they need. Gem Hens was a neat take on set collection by using dice to program movement around a board. So, Izzy, how do we rate Gem Hens?
3 out of 5 Fabergé eggs.
And that's Gem Hens in a snap. So, Farmer Izzy, let me see this beautiful egg you've made. Ah, it's amazing and worthy of a place of prominence on my mantle. I do have one question. Why did you bring all these chickens to my palace?
Bawk, 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 bawk.
All right, and we're back from our break. So at this point in the show, I think it is time that we call upon Mr. Video Games, as we previously titled him. Mr. Steven Dutzman, to talk about maybe some sweet video game recommendations for this holiday season. I'm going to guess a lot of this is going to come straight out of the gift-giving guide that we will be linking to in the show notes of this show anyway.
Almost verbatim.
All right.
So we're going to be, I'll make sure you have that link so you can throw them in the show notes.
Oh, we already got it, my friend.
Okay. All right. So I think the first thing, and this is not in the gift guide, but this is just some just kind of casual advice on this one. As we said at the top of the show, the best thing to do and the safest thing to do is digital video games. And the reason for that is you can do it pretty much anytime you want, and you don't have to go anywhere. A lot of folks will have the conception that it will be cheaper to do it this way. It's actually not. A lot of these games are going to be full price digitally, but that's okay. But you have the convenience of being able to just buy them directly through the console, and you can just download them and they'll just be there for you. So the one piece of advice that I would recommend is be fun about it, because, you know, there's nothing to open, right? And so what I have done in the past is I have wrapped up incredibly stupid things with notes on them saying, go check the Switch, or go look at this thing. Like, for example, I gave my son Rocket League a few years ago, and we wrapped up a package of egg noodles.
Okay.
You know, like, just keep it interesting and stupid, because, you know, why not? You're never going to have an opportunity to give them something that dumb in your life. And it's funny, and it'll be a cool memory. So that's my number one thing, is to just get it. I recommend, if you're going to do that for, say, Christmas morning, buy it and set it to download that night so that it'll be ready to go on Christmas morning. They can open it up. They can look at the tabs. They can see that it's there. And it's not like anybody's going to be rushing to the Switch or the PlayStation or the Xbox on Christmas morning. They're going to have other stuff. They're probably going to have other stuff distracting them, which means that you can have it there, ready to go. And it's not like it's going to spoil the surprise. Also, you know, you can go to sleep and the video game system will do its work while you're sleeping. So those are the two how to give a digital gift. Y'all can be creative however you want. You know, people are smart, but those are just two things to consider. As for the actual games themselves, I'll just go right down the list. And we cover a variety of age groups. I'm just going to start with the biggest one, which is probably the biggest video game of the year. If you own a Nintendo Switch and your family does not have Animal Crossing New Horizons yet, let's talk about this and potentially change your world. So Animal Crossing New Horizons is a game where you make a little person and you move on an island full of animal people and you build a little island community, and it is adorable and wholesome, and there are holiday events and you can collect bugs and it's just super cute. I mean, I guess spoilers, it is the Engage Family Gaming video game of the year, and it's not close. In past years, we've had some contention. This blew everything else out of the water. It's been played for so many hours and has probably saved lives, I'm not even joking, through this pandemic, with people who have just needed something kind of wholesome and bright and fun to do. This is a great game to buy and download on your Switch and just have there. One of the things that I love about this game, and I think it'll be great for a lot of families, is especially if you put a hard limit on the amount of screen time or video game time within a given day, which a lot of families do, is Animal Crossing is great for appointment gaming, meaning you can get a lot done in a little bit of time, because it's a lot of like little things. Like, you got to go pick 5 fruits off of the trees, and you can do that in just a few minutes. So even if your kid only gets like a half hour of time, because that's all they've earned for the day, they can do a full day's worth of Animal Crossing chores in just that amount of time. And I say chores, but I mean that in the lightest way possible. So that's Animal Crossing.
Our kids are going to avoid their own chores in order to do chores in Animal Crossing.
I mean, our kids avoid their own chores anyway. So let's
I mean, whose kids don't avoid their own chores? So my one caveat to this is Animal Crossing is difficult to share if you only own one Switch.
That was actually going to be my question. It's the biggest reason why we've avoided it so far, because our kids have to share so many other things that sharing a video game and not having like separate accounts in it, I'm not sure that's going to go over well.
Well, I've got some ideas. So here's how it works. Animal Crossing New Horizons, every Nintendo Switch has its own island. The island is tied directly to, essentially, the Nintendo Switch itself. Everyone's account on that Switch that starts to play a game shares that island. The first person to play is the island representative. They're basically like team captain. They make all the decisions, and they're the ones that have to progress to a certain point in the game in order for everybody else to start doing stuff. Like, for example, they have to collect a certain number of bugs before the museum opens and everybody else can start donating to it. I know plenty of families who made the mistake of having the youngest gamer start playing first, because maybe, you know, little brother, little sister plays first. It's the cute thing. Don't do that. What you want is the progression-minded and progression-oriented player be the island representative. And the reason for that is simple. Like, once you get to a certain point, it doesn't really matter outside of the fact that they do have to cooperate on where they put stuff and what the island looks like, etc. But the first couple of days really, really stink if you have a kid that just only wants to play 5 minutes a day and it holds everybody else back. So I think that's a piece of it. One way to deal with that is to have a parent. If you are a gamer yourself, you can be the island representative. In fact, I highly recommend mom or dad play the game first.
It's going to be mom.
And be the island representative. Once you get to a certain point, you really don't have to play the game very often. And some folks are like, wow, man, this seems kind of extra complicated. If you think... I have a friend of mine who has three sons that are triplets, and she bought a Switch for them. And I was like, Autumn, I love you. Do not buy Animal Crossing. I'm going to recommend it on all of my content. Your boys will literally murder each other with their bare hands. It's going to be like, don't do it. And, you know, so you really got to know your kids for this one. But if your kids are great at sharing, or maybe only one of them is interested in video games and the other one just likes to watch, or any of those types of situations, Animal Crossing is the number one thing I'll recommend for everyone. Just anybody. The next one, and I'm just going to get the Switch stuff out of the way because there's only a couple of them. The next one, this is going to be a mouthful. It's Clubhouse Games 51 Worldwide Classics. Have you heard of this one?
No.
This is also a family gamers style Switch game. It is 51 Worldwide Classics. It's basically a Nintendo branded collection of classic board games. And when I say classic board games, I mean like Yahtzee and, you know, but it's called Yacht Dice and Cribbage and stuff like that. But it's got a Nintendo touch to it. So it's actually really cool and actually a lot of fun.
Okay.
All right.
And, you know, it's very polished. All the games, it have a really smooth tutorial system. It also has the advantage of being very relatively inexpensive because it's only $40. And this is one where lots of people can play it. And because everybody knows how to play Yahtzee. Or I'm sorry, Yacht Dice.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
It takes advantage of the Switch. It looks cool. It sounds cool. I'm so happy that this game came out. When they announced it, I was like, LOL. Like, sure. This is silly.
Yeah.
But the more I actually saw it and read about it and, you know, played it, it's really way better than it has any right to be.
So we're looking at it right now over here. And I think one thing that maybe is not being captured in talking about it right now is the way that this game is played. So this is actually played on the Switch in handheld mode, where you put it on the table and it becomes a digital board game.
Well, you can do that too.
Well, that's what we see here in some of these pictures.
It is one of the ways.
That becomes super appealing to me. Like, our kids were trying to play Moncala the other day with some, I don't know what board it was. Was it the Klutz board?
It was the Klutz book of classic games.
Thumbs down. That did not work well.
To be fair, in the instructions for that, they say, if you're really enjoying Mancala, go get an egg carton and use that instead.
Right, which is the right thing to say. But that part of it, like, some of this other stuff is like, okay, cool. Like, you can play board games on the TV. That kind of stuff is neat. But the fact that this is set up so that you can put it on a table and play across from each other, like, digitally, which also, by the way, means, like, if you're on a road trip, you can play this game together.
It's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really cool. It also has some of the, like, it has, like, its own version of, like, combat from the Atari.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Like, it's very simple stuff. So, highly recommend this. This is one of those ones, if you are interested in it, but maybe you don't get it get it right now, Walmart has this for $30 regularly, because all their video games are $10 off standard MSRP. So this is one of those ones that, you know, you could get in the summer relatively inexpensively. This has been a pretty well-sold game for Nintendo, so I would expect this to not be super rare. But yeah, no, this is a very good one. So moving on to PlayStation, and this is a game that is available on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. I'm going to talk about Spider-Man very briefly. Spider-Man Miles Morales is super good.
I really want to play this.
It's so good. If you like Spider-Man, specifically, everybody watched Into the Spider-Verse, and really, I think a lot of people fell in love with Miles Morales, and I really do believe firmly that this coming decade will be the decade of Miles Morales. Like, he will become an icon in pop culture just because of those movies and the games. You know, everybody knows who he is now. And I think that's great. This game does a really good job of introducing you to who Miles Morales is, who some of his rogues gallery is, because it is different from Spider-Man. And, you know, I think this is as good of a game as Into the Spider-Verse was a movie. And I know that's high praise, but I'm throwing that out there. I played it on PlayStation 5, which if you happen to have one of those, good glory. This game is absolutely astonishing with the ray tracing and the shenanigans. If you buy the full version, which is $70, it includes a copy of Marvel Spider-Man Remastered, which is a remastered version of the original game for PlayStation 4, which includes ray tracing and all sorts of other crazy stuff. It's a great value, especially if you've never played either game. But it's also available on PS4, and I don't think it's a bad play there either if that's all you got. If you like Spider-Man, it's hard to turn this down. Another one, and this is only digital, so I think it's kind of relevant for us.
Before you jump off, Miles Morales, here's my question about this. So we have played the original Spider-Man with all of the downloadable content and everything. So it's all been played. I pretty much platinumed the game. Mm-hmm. What is the length on Morales?
Oh, it's shorter. Yeah. This is like 10-12 hours. Okay. This is a shorter version. They call it like an expand alone.
Right. Okay.
I don't mind that, since it's very rare that I play a game more than 10 to 15 hours before.
Here's the thing though. Like Miles Morales at 10 to 12 hours means in our household it is 40 to 48 hours, because there are four people who will play that game.
Yes.
This is a great value, mm-hmm. I think, still. It's worth mentioning, that's the $70 version. You can buy it. My understanding is you can get it just Miles Morales, and it's like $40.
Yeah.
I think it's just worth buying the full version, because you get the Spider-Man Remastered, and that has the DLC and all the bells and whistles, and man, it's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Ray tracing changes that game, considering a lot of it is Spider-Man swinging through basically glass hallways. Reflections and all that stuff is insane. No, it's nuts.
I bet. But that's only if you've got a PlayStation 5.
That's only if you got a PlayStation 5. But you know, if you got a PlayStation 4, it's still relatively inexpensive. So Spider-Man it's great. I'd be remiss if I did not mention that. Speaking of only digital games, another game that I think is worth a look, and this one's about $20, is Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout.
Yes.
So Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, if you remember Wipeout, the show on ABC that was basically, you know, just stupid Double Dare physical challenges, mm-hmm. over a pond where you're just trying to go through this stupid obstacle course and not get knocked off into the water. This is that, only it's mixed with a battle royale game in that 50 people start or whatever, and you just play through these rounds until there's only one survivor.
Yep.
And you're just these bean-shaped people with stupid costumes. This is an amazing game to just sit and pass the controller with your family. You know, we've had a couple of nights here where we've just kind of passed the controller and gone through. I was lucky enough to be able to grab it when it was free on PlayStation Plus. Yep. However, it's absolutely worth $20. This is another one that you can grab, and if you're not going anywhere, you can easily burn a day just playing this game. Pass the controller. It doesn't take a huge amount of skill. Yep. So
yeah, and it's one of those where the rounds are short enough that you get knocked out and you're like, okay, let's play again.
Yeah. And it's correct. A great spectator game.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why it's been so successful. Admittedly, Among Us came out like a week afterwards and kind of stole its lunch, at least on Twitch. Mm-hmm. And Among Us, I mean, it's like $5 on Switch. So if your kids are looking for it there, you can do that if they don't already own it on something else for free. Mm-hmm. But, so I don't have a specific Xbox game, because my answer for Xbox is just buy a Game Pass gift card.
I think that's the right answer, you know? Anyway. I do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that for $30, which would be the cost of like a buy-in a video game that's on sale that may or may not be good, you can get a kid 3 months of a subscription to Game Pass, which is access to a couple hundred games at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Any game you buy them, they're probably only going to play for 3 months or less. So, you know what I mean? It's just the absolute value. I have a couple multi-platform games that are worth mentioning.
Please.
And these are games that are on everything. What do you guys think about Minecraft Dungeons? Have you played it?
I have not. So, we have Game Pass. So, I've seen it on there. I have heard about it. Our kids do play Minecraft, but they are very late to the Minecraft game. I would say they started playing Minecraft in general last year.
Cool. Cool.
So
everybody on Earth is going to get started eventually. So they got started last year. No big deal.
So, I mean, yes, I have seen it. I'm not necessarily against them playing. It just hasn't really been a priority for us.
Listen, if in the world we live in, from a video game perspective, there are so many games that there's no need to have them to put a game in front of them that they don't absolutely want to play. It's not like when we were kids where, like, sometimes you just had to do what you just had to make do. You know,
yep.
Like, there might have been like three games that literally came out during that holiday. So if you didn't like any of them, but you wanted something new, you kind of were just like, well, guess we're going to live with this. Not anymore. If they're not like, OMG, Dad, let's hook this up. I can't blame you. I'm going to tell you, let me paint you a picture. What if Diablo, but Minecraft?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I've heard about it.
All right.
Hey, that's it. Yep. What if Diablo, but Minecraft? Or I'd say, and that is a very apt... Like, every time I watch it and every time I play it, I'm like, no, this is Diablo, but with Minecraft characters. It's wholesome. It's funny. You're fighting Minecraft mobs, but it's in an isometric perspective. It's also relatively inexpensive. So if you have Game Pass, it's there. But if you want to buy the Hero Edition digitally, it's going to run you about $30 on any console. So that's Switch, PC, on Xbox or PS4. This is, and it's also available, you can play it on the next-gen consoles as well. This is a really good game. It's a cool multiplayer game, so if you have, you know, siblings, or if you were looking for a game that you want to play with your kid during Christmas break or something like that, I think Minecraft Dungeons is a great game to hop into. They've added a lot of content to the game since it was launched in new worlds and new realms, and they're going to keep supporting it. So Minecraft Dungeons is awesome.
Nice.
And, you know, it's one of our games of the year, without question. Next, I can't do a holiday gift guide without, and I'm going fast, but I want to just, I'm just dumping information on your people. Oh, yeah. So
it's all good. It's all good. We have show notes for a reason.
I would be remiss if I did not put a Star Wars game on here. Everybody's got Star Wars fever of one flavor or another, whether it be Baby Yoda or looking at all those, you know, intimidating list of Disney Plus shows that are coming out over the next 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
So many. Listen, people have been like, how do we choose? I'm like, how do you watch them all? I'm like, you don't. You choose one, and then you skip the ones that you don't watch, and you just pick up the recaps on Wikipedia or YouTube.
Right.
But Star Wars fever is, at this point, not going away. So I'm going to talk about Star Wars Squadrons, which is, it's a spaceship game. That's it. It's X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, only it came out in 2020.
Excellent.
It is better than it has any right to be.
It's so good.
It is inexpensive. It's a budget price game. Right now you can get it on, you know, physically, so you can get it digitally as well. You know, it's $30 for the base game. I would expect it to be on sale for, you know, it maybe even be on sale now.
It is. It's $20 on PS4 on Amazon right now.
So for $20, it's outright theft, especially if your kids are interested in the space combat Star Wars. There's no ground stuff. There's no lightsabers. This is just dog fighting.
Mm-hmm. It is a little hard. I will say that.
I mean, that is true. It is not an easy game. So if your kids are on the younger side, then maybe hold off on this one. The good news is it's not like this game is going away. in fact, I would expect a sequel considering how successful it was.
Yes.
But it's Star Wars, man. It's really great. Star Wars Squadrons.
I would recommend this game as a game for mom or dad that the kids will enjoy watching, because they are like, Dad, can you play Squadrons tonight? And I'm like, oh, no.
Twist my arm.
Must I? Oh,
man. So speaking of games for mom or dad that the kids, that older kids can get into, is I'm talking about a little game called Hades. Have you played Hades?
I have not. I have heard a lot about this game. This is a game that definitely has been making the rounds in the video game spaces. We do a lot of board game stuff on our own, so I don't listen to a ton of board game podcasts, but I do listen to a couple video game podcasts, mostly because I used to be a lot more into video games and I haven't deleted them. And they've been talking about this game a lot.
Yeah. So Hades is, number one, it's relatively inexpensive. It's a digital-only game. I'm sure somebody's going to make a collector's edition at some point and sell it to the five nerds that want it. But this is a game based on Greek mythology. You play as Hades, or you're trying to escape Hades, and it is a rogue light, meaning every time you play the game, you essentially have to start over. And the runs are always different. And every time you die, which is inevitable because that's how these games work, you get a little bit of a story and you interact with different characters. Now, this game, not necessarily for the younger kids. I think this is great for older kids and parents who want to share a game with their kids. The story is interesting. The voice acting is bananas. The combat is super good, super smooth. And it's just overall just a very slick package. This is from Supergiant Games. They made Transistor. They made
Bastion.
What was the Bastion? So they love to make some action RPGs. And so that is kind of what this is.
I didn't realize it was Supergiant until we pulled it up while you were talking about it. And honestly, the fact that it has Supergiant on it, like, I know everybody in the world has been talking about how good this game is. The fact that it says Supergiant next to it, that I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. You should. It's great. This was also made by a Supergiant, very small team. They put this game out in early access about a year or so ago and have been kind of slowly developing it. And it came out in its 1.0 release this year. And it is super polished and great. So I highly encourage folks to give this one a look. At the very least, go onto YouTube and look up Hades video game and watch it for a few seconds. You owe it to yourself just to see how stylish this game is. Even if you don't want to buy it, looking at it on YouTube is free, because I think everybody should take a look at it because it is super cool looking. Mm-hmm. So that I literally just went through our entire gift guide. There's so many more. Oh my goodness.
So guys, let's talk about Immortals Fenyx Rising.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one of the games that's on our gift guide was published before this game came out. Immortals Fenyx Rising is on our Game of the Year list, and it went from, the way I describe it in our review that's going up soon, is it went from an interesting diversion that was coming out at the end of the year to one of my games of the year in a matter of 2 hours.
Wow.
I played this game. This is my description. This is my pitch. I gave it to your husband, Anitra. It's Pixar Assassin's Creed, narrated by Statler and Waldorf.
Oh, no.
Do you understand why I'm in on this game now?
Yes, 100%.
So Assassin's Creed, I talked about this in the beginning of the show, right? Assassin's Creed is just one of those games that is, you know, it keeps getting better. And the model that Ubisoft uses to produce these games continually improves. Now, there are some people that don't like it. And if you don't, then I guess just ignore me for the next few minutes. But it is a great gameplay mold, right? To just kind of fit all sorts of different environments and stories into. The problem with Assassin's Creed is it's about assassinating people, and thus it is not family friendly in general, right? You know, you're turbo murdering dudes, and that's great for grown-ups, not so much for the kids. But the model itself is not necessarily inappropriate for kids, right? Like, you're exploring, get to the top of a tower, search stuff up, you know, go on little quests and side missions. So I am super glad that they made this game. It was originally called Gods and Monsters, and last second they changed it to Immortals Fenyx Rising, and I'm actually quite certain that they changed it because they knew what they had going, and Ubisoft loves them some franchises, and now it's Immortals whatever the next thing is. I love that you can create a character that looks like whatever you want, and they just run around and you just go on these ridiculous missions, and you fight with just ridiculous weapons. It definitely bears a resemblance to some Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which certainly doesn't hurt. It's not like if you're going to borrow from a game, right, may as well be a masterpiece.
Yep.
But yeah, no, this game is absolutely amazing. I would put this on a gift list easily if I didn't already publish mine. And anybody that's looking for like a cool, nice, long action game, this is one to take a look at. Gosh, I love this game.
Yeah, I know there's a little bit of light language in it. So that has been mentioned
to
me.
I will say this much. It is rated T for teen for a reason. It does earn it, and it earns it almost entirely based on language and suggestive themes. And I have to talk about that in my review, too. I personally, you know, I think it's going to go over a lot of kids' heads. This is going to be one of those. Toy Story had some stuff in it where you're like, whoa, what's up, Bo Peep? But the, you know, at the end of the day, this game is set in Greek mythology, And, like, Zeus is a character in this game, so, like, Zeus liked to get down, apparently. And so they talk about that.
There's a reason that Zeus has dozens and dozens and dozens of half-mortal children.
Yeah, exactly. And so that kind of stuff does come up. I think a lot of that stuff will go over most kids' heads. The problem is the kids it doesn't go over their head, you're going to have something to talk about. So I think that is certainly something that is worth talking about. Again, language is also there, but I think it's really going to be the innuendo that I think is going to be more prevalent than the language. Mm-hmm. There's a few words that pop up here or there.
It's nothing that wouldn't be allowed, like, on cable TV. Like, it's not the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're not dropping F-bombs and stuff like that. I would say this. The rating description, if you go to ESRB and just look up Immortals Fenyx Rising, and Fenyx is spelled F-E-N-Y-X, which, by the way, is not how you spell it. Whatever.
Unless your first name is Marcus.
Oh, unless your first name is Marcus.
That's F-E-N-I-X, whatever.
Although, let's be real. I would 100% play a mod of this game on PC where you get to play Immortals Fenyx Rising as Marcus Fenyx, but only if I can have a chainsaw bayonetta.
And everything he says is butt.
Listen, that game, we just willed that game into existence. Someone's going to make that happen. So read the rating descriptor that is the rating summary that's available when you look at it on ESRB, because it'll very clearly describe what's in the game, and you will know if you're in or out with that one paragraph based on the content.
And you know what we'll do? We'll put a link to the ESRB.org thing for Immortals Fenyx Rising in the show notes of the show. Yeah. So you can just go there and get it, just to make it easy.
Yeah, it'll save some trouble. But, I mean, from a gameplay perspective, it's immaculate. And, you know, if it were not for Animal Crossing, it would have been our game of the year. But Animal Crossing is just so, just bananas, you know?
I think the thing about Animal Crossing, you know, not to get all the way back to that, and they could not possibly have known when they were developing the game, is that it hit at just the right time, given world events, right? Because, like, if Animal Crossing comes out and everybody's like, yeah, well, that's great, but I'm going to the beach, or that's great, but I'm going to go to the movies, or that's great, but I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to do that, it would still have been the same excellent game that it is, but it would not have just injected itself into our culture the way it has,
in the same way.
Because,
well, I mean,
people couldn't do anything, but they could communicate through Animal Crossing. Right, exactly. I mean, I do think there's a lot of really good stuff in New Horizons that is new, like all the user-generated content. Yes. And a lot of the networking stuff is new, but I don't know if it would have exploded the way it did if it wasn't for the fact that people couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it probably still would have been our game of the year, regardless. I think...
Sure.
Because we also, our game of the year stuff gets thrown off by nature of the fact that we immediately discount every rated M game. So, like, they just don't exist for us.
Right,
so that
exactly.
Throws off a lot.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, that took away, you know, for, you know, video games, that took away Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us 2, two masterpieces. Cyberpunk kind of took itself out of the equation.
Let's not talk about that.
Speaking of which, literally while we're recording this, PlayStation announced that they're pulling it from the PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Actually, I don't know if was it PlayStation that announced it, or was it CD
PlayStation
Project,
announced
right?
It.
Okay.
No. PlayStation said we're refunding everybody and we're delisting it from the store. That is completely unprecedented. So anyway, totally non sequitur. But if you want to play it, I guess I'm sure Microsoft will do the same thing soon. You know, they don't want to mess with that. But I think Animal Crossing still would have been our game of the year. However, you're absolutely right. I don't think it would have sold as well as fast. I mean, it has a long tail. I mean, the thing with Animal Crossing is that it has a long tail, so it would sell for a long time.
Yeah.
But I think it would have very likely, you know, it wouldn't have taken over the universe the same. And you're right, Nintendo had no idea, but they knew when they released it, and, you know, good on them.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
They did exactly what they needed, and now we're seeing the end of the year come, and a lot of games researchers and things like that are actually very seriously, psychologists and the like, are actually really talking about how Animal Crossing was the perfect game for 2020. And when I said at the beginning that it has very likely saved lives, I'm not joking,
you know,
because there are a lot of people who have been isolated, you know, even people in the board game community that we all keep up with, right? People who have been completely isolated that because of Animal Crossing, they've had something to do,
right,
and a way to communicate with people. So it's so crazy. And I know we're retreading the ground, but it's Animal Crossing is such a fascinating thing. I think we're going to be talking about this game for years to come.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of social experiment slash analysis of 2020 across many strata, across just everything, you know. I mean,
we're going to be reading books about this.
Well,
for
you
years.
Know, the pandemic is the social experiment that you would never want to execute. It's like the classic experiments of twins. Like, if you were to separate them, would they still grow up with the same tendencies? It's like the experiment that you would never actually want to do.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, here we are. And obviously we couldn't control for variables, but, you know, whatever.
That's for sure.
Listen, one thing we know scientists will do is if they're stuck, they're going to look at charts. And so that's where we are, right? We're going to be reading books about all the stuff that happened this year for years. And from a game perspective, we're going to be reading about Animal Crossing for at least the next couple. You know, those grants have been applied for and the data sets have been collected. Now we got nerds reading and writing about them. So it'll be very interesting.
Sure. Yes, I totally, totally agree. All right. Well, he is Steven Dutzman. This has been a great information-packed hour and a bit. Wow, there's a lot of stuff that we have covered. Steven, if people have more questions, if they somehow did not get enough information,
if this fire hose was not enough.
Yeah, we're drinking from the fire hose.
Where can people get a hold of you online?
So I think the best thing to do is to join our Facebook community, which is go to engagefamilygaming.com/community. You can join our group. I know you guys have one. We overlap a lot. So
we do.
Make
We've
sure
even
you join.
Been confused if, for each other.
We definitely are regularly confused for each other.
I've had things shipped to my house that said Engage Family Gaming on them.
Really? Yes. All right. So that's kind of funny. That's kind of funny. This is the first time you've ever told me that. But hey, I mean, grats on the review copies. listen, I mean, that's actually really funny. I hadn't thought about it. So, but if you're going to join mine, make sure you join their community, obviously. That's a great place because I'm there, my staff is there, and we'll answer whatever questions you might have. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at @sdutzman, and they'll put that in the show notes, I am sure. I'm always there on Twitter, and I'm happy to answer your questions. Engage Family Gaming does have a Twitter account, but that's, you know, kind of automated. I don't actually post there myself conversationally. So that's it.
All right. Awesome. All right. Well, for us, we, like Steven mentioned, do in fact have a Facebook community. You can go to thefamilygamers.com/community to get to that, or just search for The Family Gamers Community on Facebook. We continue to have really great conversations in there. People are asking about games that they can buy people for Christmas and all this crazy stuff. It's a lot of fun that we're having there. Or you can just find us on all of the social media by looking for the handle @FamilyGamersAA for Andrew and Anitra.
You can also email us.
Andrew@TheFamilyGamers.com.
Anitra@TheFamilyGamers.com. If you are listening to this show, could you please take 2 minutes and leave us a review of the podcast?
Yeah, we have something in the 30s number of written reviews on the show, but we know for a fact that there are more people that listen. So we would love it if you would go to your podcast subscription source and leave us a little bit of a review. It helps us on the rankings and it tells other people about what we do here.
And of course, The Family Gamers is sponsored by First Move Financial. Go to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to learn how the team at First Move Financial can help you pile up the victory points.
Thanks so much to First Move Financial for their generous sponsorship of The Family Gamers podcast. All right, well, it's Christmas week. We have some games to go buy. I think we need to buy Hades and Miles Morales and Immortals Fenyx Rising and a couple more things.
And probably Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Okay, so we should get on that. So I think that is going to be it for us this week. Merry Christmas, everybody, if you celebrate Christmas. Hanukkah's over, but happy Hanukkah if you celebrate Hanukkah.
Good luck with your last-minute holiday shopping.
Don't forget to download those games. Any last words, Steven?
Have a good one, everybody.
Until next week. Play games with your kids.